We know this gospel well. It's a classic, and maybe we can break open a couple new elements of it. Leprosy at the time of Jesus was really the worst disease imaginable. It was basically kind of a living death sentence in a way. If you had leprosy, you were sent away by yourselves, and you could not associate. You could not come into the community. You always had to live on the outside. An interesting thing in this gospel is that the Jewish people and Samaritans were together. Usually Jews and Samaritans would never, ever be together. But what happens when you have a disease like this is you still want to be around people. You still want friends. And so Jews and Samaritans actually live together. It's interesting how sometimes really bad situations bring people together. Illness is one of them, and we see that. But one of the effects of leprosy was that it was actually very difficult to speak. It was very hard to kind of get a sentence out, and it always had a very quiet voice because the leprosy would attack the larynx. And so it's interesting because the people cry out, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And we think of them crying out, and it probably wasn't like a shout at the top of their voice. It was like, you know, sometimes when we're sick, we're not feeling well, and you kind of summon up all the strength you have to try to get out like a kind of a choppy type of sentence. And that's probably how their cry sounded. We know in ourselves when we're not feeling good, it's hard to shout out. It's hard to speak. And then we might go a little bit deeper because whenever there's leprosy, there's always a sense Jesus is talking about a spiritual healing that we have. And so we think, especially as kids, if we've ever had it where our mom or dad kind of question us on something and say, "Okay, did you take that from your sister?" And all of a sudden our voices kind of get a little bit silent, don't they? Our voices don't always kind of shout out the truth. Sometimes it's going to confession and that fear and like, "Okay, Jesus, I know you want me to go to confession," but we're kind of ashamed and so our voices don't quite just shout out. And isn't that interesting? Whenever we have a sense, and sometimes it's with other people, when we've got something kind of bound up within us when we maybe aren't doing the best and we know that we've got to tell someone but we can't, what happens? Our voice is kind of comes out in an awkward way, right? Because there's some tension within us. There's maybe fear within us, whatever it is. And so it's something to be said that when this man is healed and he comes back, it says that he cried out in a loud voice. He cried out in a loud voice. After he was healed, we can picture the difference in his voice. He cried out. There was no more kind of nervousness. There was no more of the illness kind of holding him back. He was able to speak with perfect freedom. That's the freedom that Jesus is calling us, to take away any type of nervousness, any type of fear, and to cry out. That's what healing does. That's what healing does. Jesus asks that question then because only one of them comes back. And he says, you know, "Where were the other nine? Are you the only one that's come back?" And we might ask that question, "Where were the other nine?" The other nine were actually doing what Jesus told them to do. What did Jesus tell them to do? "Go to the temple and show yourselves to the priests." I don't think they went off or doing anything. They were actually doing what Jesus wanted them to do. They were actually following his commands. It was this one person that kind of turned around and didn't do what Jesus explicitly said. So the nine weren't maybe on the bad side of things, but this one person got the big picture. He got the essence of it. It says that he returned glorifying God. So often when we've been blessed, how difficult it is for us to return and glorify. There's the old joke, and you might have heard it, there's a gentleman he's kind of on his last, his financial situation wasn't good, and he had a final interview. He had a final interview. It was in downtown. And as he was traveling to the interview, it was very difficult because there was kind of a traffic jam. Obviously, this is not Sheboygan. We can picture it being in Milwaukee. But there's a traffic jam, and he's starting to pray, and he's looking at his watch, and what is this going to say if I'm late for this final interview and I need this job? And then he's getting close to the interview, and wouldn't you know it, of course, all the parking spots are kind of taken up. And he's not necessarily a believer in God, but he puts out a prayer and says, "God, if you get this parking spot for me, you know, I will do whatever I can to thank you. I will give back. I will go to church." And he's putting out this prayer, and he turns the corner. There's the parking spot. He pulls in, and he says, "Never mind, God. I found one myself." You know? But isn't that what so often that we do? So often we've been praying for things, we've been receiving blessings, and we're completely oblivious to them. We get some things and we think, "God," but there's so many blessings that God has given us, and we're completely oblivious to the fact that he has blessed us. And whenever he's blessing us, what he's seeking to do is he's seeking to restore us to the fullness of who we've created to be. That's what this one person got in returning to Jesus. The rest actually, yep, like I said, they were following the directions of Jesus, but they missed that Jesus himself was the healer, that Jesus Christ is the source of every single blessing that we have. A couple classes with the kids at the school, we did kind of a thankfulness exercise where we just went through our five senses and said, okay, what do we thank God within our sense of smell? And some people said popcorn, and there was some with pizza and the smell of water, all the candles and all these different things. But who is the source of all that? God. And so we gather and we return. We turn around and we thank God, especially in these moments. We cry out to him with that loud voice, recognizing that Jesus wishes to free us, to heal us. And one of the ways he does that is through gratitude. We turn back to God. Father Gideon mentioned in the beginning of the Mass that we kind of gather at this first table here, this first altar. Many of you kind of know this, might know the story that the first Mass in Sheboygan was offered on August 24th, 1845, at the home of Albin Kind. His home was between 7th and 8th Street on Jefferson. And this was the first altar at the time that was used to celebrate Mass here in Sheboygan County. In Sheboygan County, the first Mass was celebrated on this table in the home of Albin Kind. There was no churches built at that time. The priest was Father Caspar Rail, and he was a missionary who, if we think we have many parishes now, he covered basically southeastern Wisconsin. He founded churches in Fond du Lac and West Bend here, even I believe in Oak Creek. You know, so if you talk about having a big area, he did it. But that was the first Mass, and so we turn back to God, turn back to him in the Eucharist, knowing that Jesus is the source of everything. We return to him, and what a privilege it is to thank God together as family this morning.